love you.
Thank you, Roadster.
Hey, by the way, I had a guy call me earlier. What happened to that note? Was it, now it's gone. I don't know what he did with it.
Yeah?
Oh, here it is. There's the note there. There is a band called Voice of the Beehive. They have a CD out called Honey Lingers. They do a cover of I Think I Love You. He's playing it for me. I was listening to it over the phone.
Oh, really?
Sounded pretty good.
Zowie. Well, you know, we promised in the first hour of the show we'd play I Think I Love You. And I have it right here on CD, maybe coming right out of the news.
Must we?
We'll do, I think. Yes. Oh, come on, okay. Man. Awesome. Number one hit. That went to number one on the charts. It was 1970 or 71.
Paul, yes. So was Kung Fu Fighting.
I know, but this is a good, though. Kung Fu Fighting was a joke. This is a good song. I think I love you. So we're doing that. We'll play that now. We'll have new Dave later on when he's on. But, yeah, we'll play that coming right out of the news. So let's not take too much time here. I do want to say, happy show, and as promised.
Push it. Wrapping up the first hour of the show.
With the Partridge Family. Of course, the lead vocal done by the handsome David Cassidy. Number one hit in 1970.
I'm sleeping and right in the middle of a good dream. Like all at once I wake up from something that keeps knocking at my brain. Before I go insane, I hold my pillow to my head and spring up in my bed, screaming out the words I dread.
I think I love you.
I think I love you.
This morning I woke up with this feeling I didn't know how to deal with, and so I just decided to myself I'd hide it to myself and never talk about it, and did not go and shout it when you walked into the room.
Up against, I don't know what it's all about. I got so much to think about.
That sounded good. It's 6:32 at Y92. Got time for one more here before we stop down, and we'll check traffic with Commander Bill for the first time.
Be tuned in for that. We'll give you today's before noon ticket tune in just about 1 hour. I'm looking here at the most recent issue of the Just David, which is the David Cassidy International Fan Club newsletter.
Well, there's a picture of him on the cover of the newsletter with his, looks like a couple of kids. And his wife, she's fabulous.
Well, I see a kid here. Is this the same kid, or is that David as a baby? I don't know. But there's David, and who I'm assuming is his wife and their son. And well, she's a fabulous baby. That's a good-looking boy they've got there. And anyway, it comes with a cover letter. Dear Mr. Rhodes. This was sent to Marky Rhodes, and they called him Mr.
Mark, have you ever been referred to as Mr. Rhodes before?
All the time, you know, and if you look further, I think on the outside of the envelope, read that.
It was sent to, you don't have the original envelope. This was the insert envelope. But dear Mr.
Rhodes,
that
in the other room.
Hello, yeah, sure. It's great that you're having David as a guest on your Friday show.
Yes.
The enclosed Just David newsletter is for David Cassidy, who's
has,
been...
Has anybody told these people it's not his show?
It's been busy being on the road in order to promote his album and single, so he has not received his copy of this new, just printed up newsletter issue.
Oh, okay.
So she knew, and we don't know how she found it out, because she's headquartered in Santa Barbara, but somehow she heard. Oh, and she knows it's not just the Roaster Souls. Let me see. That is up to you.
Oh, okay.
Up to David and you, Paul and Phil.
Okay.
She's suggesting some topics of conversation for us.
And even your other listeners who will enjoy the show, too. Thank you for having David on the program and sponsoring his in-store appearance later in the afternoon at Tower Records. That's right. David will be at Tower Records later today signing his new CD.
Oh, look at this. Just David, the International David Cassidy Fan Club, 18th anniversary. Started in 1974.
Wow.
And it's 1992. We have the East Coast and West Coast representatives here in the United States. And there's a little cover letter for Dave there as well. And there is the author. Make sure I skim through this.
Nifty. 9 minutes after 7 o'clock at Y92. When we come back, we'll check traffic with Commander Bill, and we'll play our last big star from the CBS Friday night lineup and give you a chance to qualify for this fabulous prize that David Cassidy will be drawing a winner for later on. So stay tuned for that. We need to tell you that the sleep train...
And Edie, that's terrific. Let's check real quick with Commander Bill, and then we're off and running.
Yep.
Roadster, our morning show producer, doing his job, ran out to meet them. And the door closed behind him, and he was locked out.
And they're locked out.
I love stuff.
We're thinking of leaving him there for a while.
Oh, boy. Kitty, wonderful job with the news. Thank you.
Can I just tell you one other thing?
Certainly.
Just a warning for Last of the Mohicans. It is very violent.
Is it really violent?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
but speaking of violent, I believe Innocent Blood opens this weekend as well.
That's Did you see it?
That new vampire.
Did you go to
I wanted to go to the premiere, and I didn't. So, anyway, that's it. The A's and the Giants both won yesterday. It's 8 o'clock. The A's magic number is 2.
Oh, man. We're getting right there.
8 o'clock at KGBY Sacramento. The hour we've been waiting for, which is not to say anything bad about the last hour. The last hour was great.
It was outstanding.
But that's unbelievable. Edie and Chris were here, and now David Cassidy in our studios at Y92 coming up next.
Biggest hour in radio.
Bill, 5 minutes after 8 o'clock now on the Paul and Phil show. Phil wasn't paying attention because he and David Cassidy got talking football.
We're talking football. We're talking about the Rams and Jim Everett and just how bad he stinks.
Let's be honest about it.
He's horrible.
I'm not a big fan, okay?
Let's make it official. Welcome to the Paul and Phil show. Hi, David Cassidy. How are you?
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Wow.
In fact, now that I know all you guys are 49er fans, I feel right at home.
He feels much better.
Living in L.A., being a 49er fan, well, actually, there are quite a lot of them now, but... you see them sort of like people when any team is going good in L.A., they become fans. They
wear
the jackets and the shirts and stuff. And I was just saying that I loved them when they were even 2-14 back before even Bill Walsh took over.
Yeah. When Steve DeBerg was the quarterback.
Yes, he was. And he was a very good one, too, I might add. It's just they got this guy named Montana who was, sort of okay. And I also played right out of college when Montana was... had just graduated, and the 49ers had just drafted him. I did a charity basketball game with him, and at the time I had just finished doing this movie for television, and I fancied myself as being really in good shape. I was like, 28.
Yeah.
I was feeling really fit.
In your prime.
In my prime, feeling really strong. So we went out, and it was like Cheech and Chong and me and Jim Brown, who used to play.
Jim Brown is
really
in shape.
He's in great shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cheech and Chong, David Cassidy, Jim Brown, Joe Montana.
Those names I always think of.
Yeah, us playing basketball together. Anyway, we all got together for charity, and it was a very good cause. And we had this game that was really fun. But there were a lot of athletes there, and a couple of former basketball players who were like, had been in the NBA for a couple of years, and, that was it. But big guys. And they were kind of out of shape. But Montana just got out of college. And if you saw him at Notre Dame, you remember what he was like. Anyway, spending the whole hour talking about him. We play this game, and it was as if the rest of us had lead in our boots. This guy's skying over the rim.
Oh, yeah.
He played so well. I sat there for a while. I was on the court, and I was actually just marveling watching him play, running up and down. And I thought, that's all the 49ers need is this guy.
It's amazing as, hacker athletes like most of us are. You get out and play against professionals. Years ago, I played in a charity basketball game against a bunch of Oakland A's, and I figured, baseball players, come on, how good can they be? Man, Bill Krueger, that used to pitch for the A's.
Oh, yeah. Come on. It's another word.
Went to school on a college basketball scholarship, and he jammed the ball about three times. Right. He was all over the place. They crushed us by 60.
Yeah. Well, it's another level, isn't it? And you get to realize just...
And we can't reach
you
it.
Made the wrong decision.
Well, we made the right decision.
We made the right decision.
We're on the radio. Yeah. We got a whole hour, so we'll take our time. We want you to know how welcome we want you to be.
Well,
and so
I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah.
I'm tickled.
This is cool. We're going to do this in-store today at Tower.
At Tower. And we're not here. We're not here to just spend a bunch of time drubbing up the past.
No, of course we're not.
But I want you to know, our morning show producer Mark Rose got the Partridge Sound magazine.
Yeah.
And on the back here, it lists.
No, you're not going to quiz me again, are
no,
you?
No quiz.
No.
I promise, no quiz.
No.
David, and it lists my favorite things.
You're going to quiz me.
And no, I'm not. I'm going to tell you in case you forgot.
No, I. Okay.
He remembers.
Your favorite drink.
Okay, here it is. 7-Up. Strawberry shortcake, blue, or whatever I'm in the mood for.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm giving you the answers to things that I know you're going to ask me.
No.
All of which were contrived.
Okay, well, I
have to be honest.
Oh, don't tell me strawberry shortcake isn't your favorite.
I knew that this
would be. Oh, because Dave.
I knew it would be a tough pill for you to swallow.
Dave, we had Rick put together strawberry shortcake.
Strawberry shortcake, in. Actually.
Looks good, doesn't it?
You're gonna love this. Yeah. This 20 years ago, whenever 18 years ago, when this album came out, somebody in the marketing department decided they had to do this in the back, and they made this stuff up.
Oh.
So everywhere I go, at every radio station, of course, I get
shortcake.
I had two cases of 7-Up waiting for me last week in Charleston, West Virginia. Yeah. Anyway.
Boy.
Boy, do I feel like some strawberry shortcake.
This will be the best you ever had, though. This will be the best you ever had.
I don't know about you, but...
Oh, boy. Well, you know, David, if you don't want it, it'll get taken care of.
We're gonna see what we can do creatively with this strawberry shortcake.
We have a big enough crowd.
Certainly. Very, very kind of you. I do feel welcome here.
Okay. 10 minutes after 8 o'clock at Y92. Let's run off. We'll come back and we'll hit that before noon ticket tune. And we have the rest of our hour this morning with David Cassidy on Y92.
If you're looking for some...
Oops, got caught talking again. It's 8:13 at 92.5 Y92. Off in another fun conversation with David Cassidy. Look for a high today in Sacramento, by the way, of 92 degrees. Tomorrow about 94. And we've got some business to take care of real quick here with our before noon ticket tune. Then we'll have a little bit more time. A big one today. We got Neil Diamond tickets to give away.
That's right. Both today, yesterday, today, tomorrow, and Tuesday. Sometime between 9 and 12, Linda Clayton will play this song. When you hear it, be our ninth caller at 925-9292, and you win tickets to see Neil Diamond at ARCO.
Oh, this sounds like Chicago to me, Phil.
You would be correct, sir.
If you leave me now,
that would be the name of the song, I think.
I know it. If You Leave Me Now by Chicago is the before noon ticket tune this morning. Be listening, and good luck with Linda Clayton. All right, there, that business is taken care of. When we went off to commercials last time, Phil started talking to you, Dave, about your acting career post Partridge Family days,
right.
You know, which has been fairly distinguished, and the big as Phil mentioned, the surprise in TV Guide and the critics when you came out doing some serious acting.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't know this. Thank God, some people still do. But I started as an actor, and of course, I was on Broadway. I started actually in Los Angeles in my last year in high school, working with the LA Theater Company. And I went to Broadway, I did a play, and from that, somebody saw me from CBS Films, and they brought me out to LA to do screen test. And I played in rock and roll bands all my high school years, but I never really thought about seriously pursuing a career in it. And my parents, my dad and my mom, my stepmom, and my stepfather were all in films and television and had come through it theatrically. My stepfather was a director, a very successful one. He directed Cat Ballou, Man Called Horse. Really good director. And he'd come through Yale Drama School. So I had a lot of that going for me in terms of legitimate theater and stage. And that's really kind of how I thought my career would go. And it started going that way very quickly after I was out of high school. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen to you. I started doing, when I came out to L.A., I got 10
leads, I think, in dramatic shows. Bonanza, Marcus Welby, Medical Center, Mod Squad, all those shows.
Man, you were on Bonanza and Mod Squad?
In the same year.
Oh, my God.
No.
Pretty frightening, isn't it?
I can't tell you.
You did a scene with Peggy Lipton?
No, I can't confess that. I did not do a scene. I did all my scenes with Clarence. So.
Oh. Solid, man. Trying to see around his natural.
And dig this. He's a really lovely guy, but this was the acting we did together. I'd ask him a question like, I don't know, man, am I going to get out of this thing? Solid.
Yeah, that was his trademark line.
And then he went, hold it, can I do that thing again? And he went back and I went, I don't know, man, am I going to get out of this thing? Solid. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll use that one.
Yeah, got it right that time. Oh, that's funny.
He was
very, very funny. I can't tell you how jealous I am to have been on Mod Squad and Bonanza.
Well, you know, these are things that you carry with you through your life.
Oh, yeah, you've got
kind of like an albatross.
What a scrap however, you must have.
However, you know, that all pales to something like this. Because this is the stuff that lasts in people. It had such impact on people's lives that when you do something that is that successful and you become that famous from doing something, they forget that you were something else. And my career took a real sharp left-hand turn. In many ways, it's been a difficult obstacle for me because I became so successful from it, and it had such impact on all generation of people and still does. And it's very cool now, you know. I mean, the 70s are as hip as they've ever been, even when we were in them.
Yeah, they're hipper now than when we were in them.
Yeah, I did a movie up here, well, not far from here, actually, a couple of years ago that was released last year and has now been, it's becoming this real cult film. It's played every Friday night in L.A. and San Francisco and in Phoenix, and now I think it's in a couple of other major markets called The Spirit of 76, and it's a satire of the 70s and something that I think the more you have an opportunity to share with people who you really are and what your own take on yourself is, and that you do, in fact, have a sense of humor about yourself and that you don't take it that seriously, I think people get an insight into you and they see that maybe it wasn't what it all appeared to be. And in my case, it wasn't at all. As much as I really enjoyed playing that role, I was very different from Keith. Had a lot more depth.
Well, now, and you were...
I like to think so.
The show ran 5 years, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, you were 20 to 25 years old, and now that we're old guys, 20-year-olds doesn't seem very old. But you...
Well, I did the pilot when I was 19. Yeah. In fact, I think I love you when I was 19 years old. And
You were playing a kid, and you were, you know, you were 25.
Yeah, I was. In fact, I started playing roles a lot younger than I was because I looked a lot younger, and it was a big advantage to me at the age of 19 and 20, I think. But it became more difficult for me to get over after I left it. I was 25, and I still looked 19, 20.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to see you do have a sense of humor about it. Other people that you run across...
You better hope so. With my career, you better hope so.
But so many other people get bitter about it, and you don't seem bitter at all.
Well, you know, because I guess I've gone on and done other things that have been successful, and I really feel like, you know, everywhere I go, millions of people all over the world, every different country I go in, and I've had... You know, the benefit of being successful.
Oh, das ist Keith Potfrey.
Yeah, exactly. I just was in Austria, in fact.
Oh, hang on.
I did a movie for television in Austria about 3-4 months ago in June. And it was incredible. I'm you know, I don't speak German, so I'm a little bit of a disadvantage. But, you know, they brought all this old European stuff. When I would go over there and tour, I played these, you know, stadiums and things all over the place. And, seeing your life in photographs coming back to you from all the places that you've been, and I don't have a scrapbook of it. People do, fans do, and it's really nice to see that. I feel very lucky. I feel real blessed, and the fact that people still care, you know, and thank God I'm still making records and having hits.
Yeah, Edie McClurg was here last hour, by the way, and she said she saw you in Jesus Christ Superstar and said you were great.
Well, that's very kind.
Said you really knocked it out.
I've tried to do as much... In order to distance myself creatively from the Partridge Family, and people I think sometimes misconstrue it as like I don't like it or I don't want to be associated with it, because I was so associated with it, and creatively it has kept me, I think, from doing the kind of work I would like to do.
Yeah.
And other than, you know, I did a movie that I got nominated for an Emmy for that you just mentioned, for a two-hour police story, and a couple of other things. I've worked a lot in the theater. I worked in the West End. I've done regional theater and stuff. And it's all in an effort for me to try and keep a balance of, you know, I really love to do this. I stood away from that when I left it. I said, that's it. I'm not going to do this anymore. And I turned down, in retrospect, I guess it was really a stupid decision, but I turned down lots of money to go out and be a nostalgia act. But for me, I just felt like recreating it any other way other than, you know, being a guy with a musical presence.
And David, I somehow see you as something more than Mickey Dolenz.
No.
No, I do. I really do. I think there's more to you than Mickey Dolenz.
I don't know how to tell you how touched I am about that.
You know what, let's run off here. Let's play.
While we have an opportunity.
We'll play your current single right now if we
can.
Off the current album, Didn't You Used to Be, and the official name, I want to get it right, is For All the Lonely. That's the first single, right? Well, before we go, if we have time, I want to play Treat Me Like You Used To, because that one knocks me out.
Great.
Okay, here's David Cassidy on 92.5 Y92.
Where there's a broken heart, crying over love departed. Every time she thinks of you, she's sorry. Someplace there's a long lost soul who spills another tale of woe. One more drink, he's last to leave the party. Somebody's turning out the light after another empty night. Nobody's there to hold him in the dark. For all the lonely.
92.5 Y92. That was David Cassidy sounding good on Y92. It's 8:25, and let us check in with Commander Bill real quick in the sky. Make sure your commute is going smoothly this morning. I don't see him there. Hey, Bill, are you there? Dum-dum-dum. Let's call him real quick. Hey, William. Commander Bill, we need you right now. We're on the air.
Yes, I certainly can, and you guys are on the air most of the time that I've known you, as a matter of fact. Traffic's still having a few problems inbound right now on 50. One of them the result of a disabled approaching Bradshaw on the median strip. The driver's in the car, and if an officer was going the opposite direction, pulled over and is talking to him over the median strip, causing a little rubberneck slowdown westbound for you. Past that, though, it looks like the only difficulty you'll have is that hole in the roadway just west of Howe Avenue over the Hornet Drive-Over crossing. It's about a 1 by 2 foot by 3 inches deep, so be extremely alert as you go over it. You certainly wouldn't want to put a wheel through that hole and spoil your whole day. Traffic in the downtown looking good. Northeast Corridor in fairly decent shape. Southbound Hazel, victim of an accident there approaching Roediger. As you're heading southbound on Hazel, the left-hander number one lane is the one that's affected. Looks like injuries are involved. Fortunately, it's right there by the fire station. I'm Commander Bill with Y in the Sky traffic on 92.5 Y92.
Thank you very much, Commander Bill. It's 8:26 now on the Paul and Phil Show. A quick reminder that we're giving away $10,000.
$10,000?
Yes.
What do I have to do to join?
Our last guest asked the same thing, David.
Quick, get a residence established in Sacramento. It's the zip code game, and you have to have a local zip code. Although, give us your zip code. We'll stick that one in the box, too, Dave.
You know, that Commander Bill, I got to tell you, that phony chopper sound, that's really so effective. That tape you guys use, I got to tell you, Bill, I was convinced until I saw you walking outside with a cup of coffee.
Oh,
I was convinced.
Now.
So where do you get that information about that, you know, those phony traffic tiles?
Oh,
stuff?
Man, just
totally really good.
Trashing a man's career here. David Cassidy is in this morning. But we haven't asked about this, David, if you don't mind. We've had a big contest running all week long.
Yeah.
We have 5 finalists. It's a trip for a family of 4 to Disneyland and a cruise in the Bahamas. We need a right or left hand to pull a winning name. Would you mind doing that?
I'd love to do that.
It'd be an honor. We'll be doing that in about 15 minutes.
Cool.
And, here's something that was kind of fun.
These things, yeah.
I don't know how the word got out, but... let me see. Do you recognize...
We got this from Santa Barbara.
Recognize the name Renee Burdick?
Yes.
Renee, is this a good thing to bring up or bad? Is this okay?
She does... There are a number... Yeah, she's a fan and been a very big supporter.
Obviously a big fan.
Yeah, she does... they do these newsletters and things like that to fans to let them know what I'm doing and inform each other.
This really caught my eye because she obviously heard you were going to be on our show. She sent a note to our morning show producer, and she included, and she knew you were be on the road, so you didn't have it, the latest newsletter.
Yeah.
This one's all in German.
Well, you know, they do it all over the world.
That is wild.
I told you. Isn't it wild?
But yeah. Couldn't she have sent us an English
copy? Well, I guess they must have heard that you guys have been educated, and obviously
they heard wrong.
Or either that or they felt that I could read it having come back
there
from
you go.
4 weeks in Austria, and I'm speaking fluent Austrian.
There we go.
Well, now, you are out promoting the album right now.
I am. I've been out on tour, in fact, the last 7-8 weeks. I just finished the week after Labor Day. We played. I did a lot of big open-air stadiums and stuff like that and outdoor things with the Beach Boys.
Oh, really?
Well,
that'd be fun, I bet.
It was really cool. We did a lot of really good dates this summer. And did they come here or are they coming here soon? I think I spoke to Carl and Bruce, and I think they mentioned something about
Beach Boys?
Carl and Bruce, it's like they're buddies.
I haven't...
I'm sorry. I spoke with Mr. Wilson and Mr. Johnston.
Thank you.
He is such a show-off.
The two of them.
You make us feel completely out of it.
Well, I was having a conversation with the boys.
The boys.
And,
boys.
Let me put this right. Yeah. And I think they said they were coming up here doing like a
They were going to be coming to the Shoreline Amphitheater in Mountain View in September earlier this month. And did that get canceled?
It did.
Vince, you know?
Something happened.
I was going to show up here in
Marysville?
Oh, yeah. Well, they play a lot of those things.
Yeah.
They play a lot of those big outdoor things. I did some of the bigger ones with them. And we played some like AAA baseball stadiums and stuff.
Oh, that's
I had a great
fun.
Time with them. You know, it was really a wonderful summer, and they're great guys. They got a new album out as well, and they're mine, Bruce and Carl.
Oh, yeah, good.
Pals.
Earlier we were talking about Danny Bonaducci,
yeah.
And when you were touring last year,
right.
When he was doing stand-up, he came in, I know he opened some of the shows for
he
you.
He did.
And, how'd he do? I've never seen him do stand-up,
well,
but he's always impressed me as a very funny guy.
He is indeed a very twisted, funny boy. I always believed in his talent, and because we know it's been pretty well documented, his problems in his life, and he's made some very extremely poor choices
yes.
in life.
And he has a problem. He likes to live on the edge, kind of. He, like many people, and we laugh about it now, he has had a substance abuse problem, and that's been very well documented. And I think the problem for him became compounded with his denial of it, as so many people who have that kind of a problem did. But he straightened his life out. He went to rehab, and he's been... While I was out on tour with him, after we happened to play Philadelphia, this was last fall, and I went in and spoke to...
He used to work there.
Yes, he did. In fact, I went to his former employer at the Eagle in Philadelphia. That's a radio station. And got down on my hands and knees and begged them to take him back. Because I'd been out on tour with him for a week. And
you'd had enough?
I couldn't take it anymore. So I said, please, you got to give this guy's job back. And in fact, they came and saw him. And I told them that he had straightened his life out and he was doing really well. And they came and saw his show. And he was so funny and impressed them so much. They gave him his job back.
Well, actually,
they gave him a better job because he's now with John Lander in the morning, and he's one of the premier radio personalities in America.
Oh, yeah, he's doing mornings with Lander.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lander's in Philly now?
Yeah, he is. He's doing very well.
Because he was in Houston for many, many years.
Yes, he was. Yes,
I'll
he
be
was.
Darned.
The world of radio, we learn these things, and well, I never knew these things, but there's a real network out there,
oh,
folks.
Oh, yeah. There's only about seven of us. Yeah.
Guys are some of the best of them, I have to tell you. I mean, no.
Stop it. Okay. But we'll give ourselves a little applause.
Yeah.
Thank you for that envelope filled with cash.
That's
I really
right.
do appreciate that.
We have news coming up in a bit here with Kitty. And if you don't mind, the lovely Kitty O'Neill, have you two met yet?
The lovely Kitty O'Neill.
Kitty, Dave, nice Kitty.
Oh, thank you.
Look at that guitar,
really
would you?
I was, you know, I knew that you would get me
actually,
cranberry
David,
guitar, so I wore a shirt to match it.
It belongs to her husband.
Does it really?
Kitty's
yeah.
husband, Bert Spatinghi, is a gifted chef and musician. There aren't many of those.
And it's probably out of tune, isn't it?
I wish we had that thing plugged in. He's playing.
I tease your husband. What?
You know, it can really, it's really...
It's a guitar.
No, it's really a nice guitar.
It's some kind of Fender or something, isn't
it? It's sort of like a Fender copy.
It's, okay.
It's called a... No.
It's a counterfeit Fender.
It's called a Fern Dog. It's called a Fernades. I'm sure it's a very fine guitar. Could you sign it for me? And let me get out of this before start the bail, David. Start the bail. Really fine guitar.
David, there is nothing you could say on this program that would offend her husband.
Yeah.
Does that mean that's already been said?
Oh, he's taken all the abuse a man can take.
Well, I'll tell you, he's a very lucky guy.
Oh, there it went. Then he couldn't keep a straight face.
And David, that's what we keep telling him.
Oh, boy. It's 8:33 at 1:02. Actually, the boss just waved and said, take the last newscast off. We'll play a lot of music here. In fact, we'll roll some spots. We'll play a couple of tunes. We'll make sure. I want to hear that the second one.
Are we going to take some phone calls?
Yeah, and we'll do that, too.
Let's do that. Out. Yeah, maybe I can only imagine what kind of paraphernalia I'm going to get to see at Tower today.
Man, they haul out some stuff you wish you never saw again, don't they? But when was the last
time? I'm looking forward to it.
You signed a lunchbox lately?
I have. I did one in New York. I signed one, in fact.
Oh, man.
I was in, where was I? I was in Louisiana last week. I signed a really funky, rusty old one. I found something in my closet, and I promise you this is true. I found a box that was behind boxes that I hadn't even opened, and I'd moved and was in Beacon's boxes that had six pristine Partridge Family lunch boxes.
Oh, man.
Brand new.
There were some dough.
Whoa. They sold one recently in London at a charity auction for £1,500.
Get out of town.
Oh, man.
And that was before the pound fell.
Someone told me, that's right. Someone told me, in fact, it was at this place in Charleston, I think, or... No, it was in Louisiana. I was in Lafayette, Louisiana last week. And a guy told me he went and found a guy who does all this paraphernalia stuff from, you know, lunchboxes to comic books and stuff. And he said, your lunchbox was the most valuable, most expensive lunchbox. So if you got one out there and you want me to sign it, I'm sure it'll cheapen the value of it, but I'm happy to do
it's
that.
It's going to cost you.
Yeah.
Huh?
I'm sure I'll be signing all kinds of fun stuff today.
Okay.
Happy to do it.
By the way, David, we'll be at Tower Records on Watt Avenue from noon till 2
you
today.
Bet. It's 8:34 at Y92. We'll come right back with more of today's hits and yesterday's favorites.
Hormel chili is the next best thing to homemade, but some of you may wonder, how close to homemade is it? Well, in scientific...
for a high of 92 degrees today in Sacramento. Tomorrow, 94. Currently, it's 65. We'll have more with David Cassidy in only moments. In fact, right after Peter Cetera. Yeah, if you got a call, give us a call at 925-9292. Talk with Dave, will you? Sotera, 92.5, Y92. You're listening to the biggest hour in radio on the Paul and Phil program, brought to you by the fine, fine people at the Sheraton Sunrise Hotel at Sunrise and Highway 50 in Rancho Cordova. A fine joint to stay in, and whenever you need a joint to stay in.
How nicely put, Bill. I think that's their slogan.
I am convinced that most of the people who sponsor this program don't mind their place being referred to as a joint.
I'm with you. It's 8:41. By the way, all week long, this CBS Who Am I contest, we now have our five finalists. And after our upcoming commercials, we'll have David Cassidy pull the winning name. A lot of pressure for you, David. Can you handle that?
He's seizing up.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He's having a seizure.
We're gonna take some phone calls here and just see what you all have on your mind and a chance for you.
Oh, let's do.
Probably the first one they've had all year to talk to with you, David.
Wow, that's cool.
Hi, on line one. Who's this?
This is Sue Ann.
Hi, Sue Ann. Say hi to David.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Sue Ann. How you doing?
I'm doing really good. I can't believe I'm doing this.
I can't either. What are you doing this? No, I really appreciate you calling.
Oh, this is so great.
Thanks.
I've adored you since I was really young, and I've all grown up now, and I still think you're great.
Thank you very much. That's very sweet of you. Are you going to come and see me today at noon?
I am. Great. Can't believe this. I'm really going to do it.
Great. Well, are you working now, or are you at home?
Well, I'm at home, and I have kids and everything,
man.
But I'm going to get a sitter, and I'm coming to
you. You're fantastic. That's great.
Oh, bring the kids. Dave would like to meet them.
Bring them all. No, that's great that you're going to come down. Is there something that you might like to ask me, kind of up close and personal?
Are you a parent?
Am I a parent? Yes, I am.
You are?
A new one.
A new one?
Yeah, I've got a 19-month-old.
Oh, how adorable.
Yeah, it's really cool. He's
and
great.
And we've seen pictures of him, and he is quite cute.
Well, thank you very much.
Takes after his mom, I might say. Oh, no. I've seen the picture.
Uh-huh.
Oh, how cute.
Yeah, it's great. How many kids have you got?
I don't think you want to know.
Oh, no, I don't. Well, so long as I'm not the parent of any of them, I don't really care.
No, hang on. You know. It's hard to shock someone on this show with how many kids you have. How many?
Yeah, I really do. I have seven.
And I've got one, and I swear to God, last night I was thinking, no, I can't do this again. He's at that age, you know, in 19 months, where he repeats everything like 600 times.
That's
daddy,
right.
Daddy, 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 daddy. And it's
everything.
Yeah, and it, you know, I have very little time because I'm out on the road a lot. I have very little time at home, and I try and spend almost all of it exclusively with him.
That's the best part.
And I made a little video for him when I go, and they play it for him every day, so he gets to see me. And I talk to him on the phone. I call him every day. So it's kind of a difficult one, but I can only imagine what it must be like for you with seven. Do you have to get, like, four or five babysitters?
No, actually, today, they all happen to be in school today except one, and so she'll be home with me because she's three.
What a break.
And so it's nice when school's on, when vacation, then I'm in big trouble.
Isn't it, though?
Well, you know, it just occurred to me, between the three of us here, between me and Phil and Dave Cassidy, we also have seven kids, you're not alone.
We're talking serious parentage. Well, I look forward to seeing you today.
That's right.
Come and bring any of your old stuff, or come and get the new one, and I really look forward to it.
I want the new one.
Okay, great. Bring your camera, and we'll have plenty of those for you, and I thank you for calling.
Oh, great.
Okay,
thank
God
you.
Bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's nice. 844, Y93.
Seven kids!
Yikes!
Whoa! David, Phil has four, and he can't imagine that there's anybody who has more than
that. That's way more than I needed.
Oh, boy. We'll jump down to line two here real quick. Hi, Y92.
Kids are thrilled to hear about that. Yeah, Phil.
Hi, who's this?
This is Sheila.
Hi, Sheila. How are you?
I'm fine.
Say hi to David.
Hi, David.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi, how are you?
I'm actually very well.
Gosh, how weird. I'm
I agree with the girl ahead of you. I can't believe I'm doing this either.
Yeah. Well, I can't believe I'm doing this either. So we're kind of like all in here in disbelief going, wow, what are we doing? I'm glad you called.
Good. I was just asking.
Where do you live, by the way? You don't have to give me the address. I mean, do you live here in Sacramento?
I live in Fair Oaks. Carmichael, yeah.
Fair Oaks. Is that here in Sacramento?
Yeah. Eastern suburb.
Eastern suburb, right.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I have an idea of, like, where you are.
Okay, well, I'm at work, but I'm in Sacramento, though.
Oh, you're at work right now?
Yeah.
Right. Does your boss know you're...
calling David you Cassidy on company time?
Uh-huh.
No, sorry. I hope he's not listening.
And where do you work?
Can I say?
Sure
you can. And let me say this.
What?
If you're working at noon, are you going to be able to get away and come down?
Well, no, I didn't know you were going to be down there,
You see... Now, you haven't been listening to this station enough, because...
Yes, I do, every morning on the way to work.
Oh, well, no way.
Yes, I do.
You're making us look bad.
Uh-oh.
I hear that you're going to be on the show all week, but maybe I get out of my car a little too soon to hear that you were going to be there.
Anyway, find a way to get out at lunch and bring your friends, come on down, and we're going to have a party down there.
Okay.
And bring your camera and take some photos, and who knows.
Okay.
We'll even have some strawberry shortcake, and if you're lucky, we'll keep the whipped cream.
Ooh!
Oh!
Have you got a quick question for Dave?
Yeah, I wanted to know how old you were when you were on Partridge Family.
I started when I was 19, and that of course, it's been quite a few years now. That would make me 57.
No, I read.
Oh!
No.
I was 19 when I started it. In fact, I cut I Think I Love You, which was the first thing I recorded, and we recorded our 100 things.
Yeah.
When I was 19 years old, and wet behind the ears still.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. We may even play that later on. Who knows? We may play some old stuff. Well, thanks.
Well, I hope so.
I'm going to come. I've been out on tour, you know, so I hope I have a chance to come here and play and do some of the old stuff for the first time.
Yeah, you have to come to Arco Arena. It's a good arena.
Cool. Or someplace around here.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks for calling, Sheila.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
Okay,
bye-bye,
see you
Sheila.
Later.
All right. 8:46. Mark tells me there's a great call on line 3. A gentleman has called in. We'll try to make it a quickie because we're starting to run a little bit late here. But hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Mark Breschmann calling from Channel 3.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, thanks.
Mark, you do the movie reviews for Channel 3.
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. Well, that's nice.
Mark, you do the movie reviews. Did you get my bottle of champagne? No.
And I enjoyed Spirit of 76, by the way.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that.
I shot in my hometown of Alameda, California.
Yeah, it's
movie,
a great...
Any movie that has an AMC pacer in it is okay by me.
Oh, man. Yeah. Mark, Alameda, the garbage city. That is their town motto.
Oh, no.
Yes.
You know,
it certainly is.
Now, Mark, did you notice something about Alameda that was really strange? And the reason we chose it as a location is that they have this moratorium that you can't touch or change anything structurally or cosmetically. And they can't do any building or new building, new construction, since 1977.
Oh, really?
Was that the Alameda Theater or the Alameda High School Auditorium?
Well... This is all of Alameda.
Oh.
I'm talking about every single building there, which is pretty scary if you look about it. There was a shot that right where the AMC Pacer we were talking about, right before the Pinto blows up.
Yeah.
At that location,
it gets rammed in the back?
At that location, there was somebody who, I guess, in the early part of the 70s thought it was really creative, and in colored stones in their walkway put a butterfly and a flower. Which is so frightening to look at it. It's like, no. I thought I was having, like, well,
hey,
I thought I was having a very bad flashback, as you can imagine.
Well, we didn't get a McDonald's till the late 1970s. That's how strict the building codes are there.
There you go.
But I've got a question for you.
Pretty town, though.
There was a really popular TV show a few years ago called The 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, right. It was taken from... Did you know it was taken from the pilot I did, Man Undercover?
Yeah, for your show.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, one of the producers of 21 Jump Street was a staff writer on Man Undercover.
Oh.
And had worked with us and said, you know, that idea was so good.
I'll be done.
I decided I was going to take it someplace else. And lo and behold, and they did very well with it. I guess maybe I should have considered suing them, but nah. You know, I'm not that kind of guy. I don't want to abuse the system.
Think of what you've done for Johnny Depp.
Yes, indeed. What have I done for Johnny Depp lately?
Whatever it is, he owes it all to you.
I don't know, but somebody needs to hold him down and wash his hair.
Thanks for the call,
but anyway,
Mark.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. It's 8:49 at Y92. Let's run off, Dave. When we come back, you're going to pull a winning name for us.
I like it.
And we still got a little time ahead.
Then let's play this other song that you wanted.
I'd like to do that. And can you confirm for me if this is true? Somebody told us they heard this morning locally on Channel 13.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was on this day in history. We're talking September 25th, 1970.
That the show,
your first show went on the air. Is that correct? September 25th?
I can't confirm that. As I'm
going to
guess. I'll tell you what. Is today Friday? Yes.
Yeah.
It would be Friday.
Yeah.
That would be 22 years ago today. That's absolutely
out.
True.
This should be the day in history on which you hit the air for the first time.
Well, actually, I thank you.
It's kismet, man.
That show hit the air. I have, of course, as I recounted my credits to you earlier in the show.
Yes, indeed.
Had been on television.
Been on Bonanza and The Mod Squad.
And many others.
What
yes, indeed.
8:49 at Y92. We'll be right back.
If you're looking for some real action, if you're looking for...
53 now on Y92, the Paul and Phil show. This morning, it's the Paul, Phil, and David...
There it is.
David Cassidy show. And we're tickled that you can stop by.
Here. What are you talking about, stopping by?
You're moving
they told
in.
Me this is part of the deal, is that I get to be a part of the radio show every morning.
Oh, man.
Hey.
Yeah.
Are you getting a cut of our salary, or are they adding a whole separate... by the way, as you're shaking up the winning names here, now you just said you've been doing a lot of touring.
Yes, I have.
And it's nice of you to come by Sacramento here to make a stop. Are you off for a little while? Are you at home, or are you busy back out somewhere else?
You know what I'm doing? I'm going back, and I go into rehearsal, because I'm going to Europe next week. I'm going to England, and I'm going to Germany, and I'm doing some concerts over there. It's actually not a long trip. I'm only going to be over there about 10 days.
You know, Dave, it's going to make it tough for you to do the program here.
Well, they told me that you guys had a remote, international remote. I could do it.
No, if you take us with you, you got
those dedicated phone lines.
Works for me, too, because it's about 8-9 hours later there, so we start the show at 6 a.m.
Hey.
What? You know, it'll be like 2 in the afternoon,
yeah, 3
in the afternoon. I'll be awake.
That's not bad. All right. We have yes?
Do we have a drum roll for this? This big bag, I'm not sure
I can do all this. Drum roll, we have a small plastic bag because there's only 5 finalists in this contest in the CBS Who Am I Friday night lineup.
Yeah, we don't have one, Bill.
And drum roll loop, isn't there one up there? Anyway, we have to give away here. This
so
is for
happy.
A family of 4, 2 adults and 2 kids. It's airfare to Florida. It's a 4-day cruise on the Big Red Boat, the premier luxury liner of Walt Disney World, to the Bahamas for 4 days.
Wow.
Back, and it's 4 days at one of the 12 hotels at the Walt Disney World Resort.
Let me just ask you this.
Yes, sir.
Is there a chance that as I've reached into and selected somebody's name, that I could be joining this person?
You know, if it's only a family of 3,
and you get to take David Cassidy with you.
Who better to vacation with?
Yes, we're giving that whole family vacation away, and David gets to join you.
All right.
You could take Bo. He's still under 2. You
yeah.
don't have to pay for a plane
You're
ticket.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, number here comes. There's your drum roll, David. He's
and
ruffled
here's the
around
winning
the bag.
Name.
He's pulled the name out.
Get lucky, listener. Susan Day.
Nah, she wouldn't take you.
You're right about that, too.
It's Janelle Whiteley.
Janelle Whiteley, our first winner on our first day of the contest.
Yes, Janelle, this station is proud to be taking you down memory lane. You'll be bringing you and all of your Partridge Family paraphernalia, along with David Cassidy, to undisclosed locations in the Bahamas.
You were an actor first, weren't you?
You know, Janelle's been wanting to hear you say her name for years, but never more than this morning, David, I'm sure. That's a great prize. Congratulations to you, Janelle, and the whole family. Y'all have fun, and why don't we run off and play... The cut off your album that I really jumped out at me.
Should be like you used to.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, let's play it.
Hit the button. I said.